This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Quoting passages out of context can change the meaning of God's Word. We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have inspired the biblical writers of old, and you have given them a message which is to be communicated to us. We also thank you that you call men and women to teach this word, to proclaim its truth. Grant, O God, that you will guide us in our interpretation of what is said. And, O God, spare us from ever quoting anything out of context which would change the meaning of that word. This is our prayer that you will be with us and guide us and help us today as we meditate upon that divine word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus, let me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus, let me all the way.
Friends in Christ, I have a friend who believes that our salvation is earned by doing good works. He often says to me, there is no free lunch, and that includes our salvation too. He has a few Bible passages that he quotes out of context to make his point. And one of these passages is found in our text today. It's when St. Paul writes in the second chapter of Philippians, therefore, my dear friends, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The two words that catches my friend's eye are these: work out. Work out. And then with a twinkle in his eye, he will say, "You see, God's word even says that each person has got to work out his own salvation. You do it your way, I do it my way, and consequently, we're all going to get to heaven, but it will be in various ways." My friend falls into the error of taking a sentence from Paul out of context, and he makes the apostle say something that he had never intended to do. The error is often made in our interpretation of the Bible, making it something that it doesn't say, and at times teaching things that are false, false doctrine, or false ethics, and that is abominable. Any person acquainted with St. Paul's teaching knows that his strong emphasis is that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Let me read you a few passages that are very familiar to most of us. One is found in the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Here he begins by saying in verse 8, "For it is by grace now that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you and me to do." In other words, writing to the Ephesians, he says we are saved through faith, and not any of our good works will make a contribution. Turning to the people who lived in Galatia, he had an interesting word for them there in the third chapter, beginning with verse 13. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" And here he is saying, we're bought back by God. We are redeemed. We are saved. We are justified by what Christ has done for us on that old rugged cross. And in his letter to the Romans, in the very first chapter, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is a power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" Those were the blessed words given to Martin Luther at the time of the Reformation. In other words, friend, the primary teaching, the inspired teaching of St. Paul regarding a person's salvation is that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Well, now you say, what does Paul mean then? When here today in the text to the Philippians, he says, "Work out your own salvation." If salvation is a gift, where is there to be this working out? Now, here I'm going to try to divide my listeners just a little bit between those who are well acquainted with the Scriptures and those who know little about them. If you are one who has lived in your Bible for a long time and gone to church, you have some theological vocabulary, and we use a word like justification. That means that we are justified before God. We are forgiven. We are restored into fellowship with Him. He is ours and we are His. That's what's done by God for us. Justification is pretty much instantaneous. When you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we are forgiven, restored into fellowship, and now once again we can live with this, that we are saved. Now, this is known. We have the assurance. We talk about the assurance of our salvation. We contribute absolutely nothing to it. God does it all. For those of you, then, who are not as well acquainted with your Bible, just remember that word justification. And to make it as simple as I can without becoming involved, it is this, that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are justified, that is, made right with God. All by grace, you didn't contribute a thing, that you might be His forever. But now, once we have received Jesus Christ and we live in a personal relationship with Him, God is not done with us. There are some people who feel that, well, now that I'm restored into fellowship with God, I got all kinds of freedom and I can go out and live just as I jolly well please. No, that is not what God wants, and that is what He is saying in the Word today. God is not done with us when He has made us His. Now His will is that we mature in Him. He doesn't want just a little infant. He wants a mature Christian person, one who lives as God wants him to live. That's a part of our salvation. It doesn't bring us into heaven. Our works do not bring us into heaven. Let me underscore that again. But because we're going to heaven, while we're here this few years on earth, we are going to live, if God has His way, according to His will. We sometimes refer to it as a fruit of our salvation. The Holy Spirit, who convicted us of our sin, continues to work in us. But unlike our justification, we can cooperate with God in living the Christian life. That's sanctification. For those of you who are struggling with these terms, sanctification is to be made holy. And in sanctification, unlike justification, we can work together with God. See, the Holy Spirit is the one who is going to come at us every so often from the Word of God and tell us this is not pleasing to God. And I'll try to point that out as we go on in the sermon. The Holy Spirit will offer us His strength. He will point out to us how God wants us to work. But then it is necessary for the believer, by the grace supplied by God, to change his behavior by saying, yes, I want it. I think William Barclay has a marvelous statement in his commentary here when he says, there is no salvation without God, but what God offers, man must take. It is never God who withholds. No, He doesn't withhold our salvation. It is always man who deprives himself of it. Talking with two young men just the other day, I asked them, do you have a relationship with God? They didn't know what I was talking about. Have you belonged to the church? Yes, they belong to the church. Do you ever go to church? No, we don't go to church. Why don't you go to church? Because Sunday is a day where we're kind of recovering from Saturday. And sometimes our weekend is pretty fluid. And they left it up to me to decide what they meant by fluid. But of course, what they meant was they were out partying and drinking and doing all the rest of the stuff. And so while they understand some of these things about God, they have not received God. They have not received Him. At this present time, they are not in a living relationship with God. That's what God wants to change. He wants to take this person and make sure that he is justified by grace through faith in Christ and then begin to change him so that he will be an entirely different person. And when that is done, then great things really do happen. Let's talk a little bit about how this really works. When he writes his letter to the Philippians, St. Paul says, you know, as the Holy Spirit continues to work with you, your life will change. It takes a long time, It's a lifetime process. But he goes on to say that when the Holy Spirit really begins to act in your life, your lives can become like stars that shine in the universe. Don't you like that? They just stick out. You're a little bit different. Your whole attitude is different. That too is a work of the Holy Spirit. And you say, yes, God, help me along this way. Now here, he says to the Philippian congregation, after he has said to them, work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. To everything without complaining, or do everything without complaining or arguing. I'd like to stop right there. One of the things that God wants us to stop doing is complaining. Complaining is not something that should have great priority in the life of a Christian. Isn't it refreshing to visit with a person whose life is comparatively free of complaining? I can't help but remember little Sonia, and it's many, many years ago now, and the details of what I'm going to tell you are getting to be just a little faint. But the Holy Spirit used her to make such an impression in my life that I understand how far God can go in helping us not to be complainers. Sonia was lying on her bed at the University Hospital in Iowa City. She was a sick little girl, and there was very little hopes that she would survive. So one day when I was sitting there by her bedside, the last time I sat by her bedside, I asked her the question, Sonia, why do you think God has permitted this to happen? Or let me say, do you sometimes wonder what God is up to? And she looked at me and she said, why do you ask me that question? Now get the picture. She's very sick. Why do you ask me that question? Well, I said, you have a brother, healthy and well. You have two sisters, healthy and well. You have a lot of friends who are out on this very day enjoying themselves. But you lie here. Do you want God to give you an explanation? No, she said, I don't. And I'm not angry, and I'm not asking for an explanation. For if God had to give me that kind of an explanation, I would have to ask him, then why did you do some of the other things to me? Like, why did you give me such a family? A family who loves me, who has given me the very best of everything, who has given me a beautiful farm home, and a horse that I truly love and enjoy and ride. Why? Some of my friends don't have one of those. And besides that, as we pressed it a little bit further, she said, yes, Jesus has given me a heavenly home. And I sat there and thought, if only the world could hear this, the sweet little angel who was about to leave this world was saying, no, I don't ask for any other explanations because the whole thing is overwhelming to me. We prayed. I left her bedside, and only a few hours later, I got word that Sonia had gone to her heavenly home. I tell you, my friend, it pays to let the Holy Spirit work out our own salvation. For I am not only to be a child of God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and then go out and live like I want to and complain about this and complain about that. Nothing is ever right. I should have more. Take a look at your list of complaints. God wants to erase them. He wants to erase mine. I chose that word complaining because I sometimes am a complainer. Write down your complaints. From the time you get up in the morning until you go to bed at night, what have you complained about? I'll bet you that the both of us, will fill an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper on the things that we complain about directly or indirectly on any given day. That is contrary to what God wants in our lives. We kind of put those in under the rug. Well, we say, now don't get too pietistic. Don't get too legalistic. We are saved by grace. We are saved by grace to live for the Lord Jesus and not to live like we want to live, complaining and carrying on as we do sometimes as complete spiritual idiots. Because we are saved, why not count our blessings and forget at least some of our complaining? And I preach to Homer Larson when I say these words. So each time we want to complain, here is that Holy Spirit. Don't you hear him rattling around inside of you? Your complaining does not reveal a thankful heart, he'll say to me. Every person who is a child of God should stop it. Why do you complain so? We sit every evening and have delicious meals. But can you imagine what it is to cook for people over 75 years of age in most cases? Some of them have been very, very good cooks, the women in their day. And here comes this food. I can honestly say that I've lived in this place for 2.5 years now, and I've never had a bad meal. Oh, there have been some that I didn't care very much for. That's my taste bud. There might have been one or two that were overly cooked, according to some of the good cooks at my table. But I have sat there again and again and listened to people complain. And I could just as well have been one of them. I'm not excluding myself. Why not say, look at this marvelous food. The world is starving. That's what Paul is talking about. Work out your own salvation. Let's work together on this sanctification. And right here in the Word that we have for our text today, do everything without complaining. That to me is extremely powerful. And those who know me could well say, yeah, it was just written for you, Larson. I ask you, as I agree, was it also written for you? There is an old rule that should be followed carefully when you and I read our Bibles. It was one of the first rules that we got when we began studying the scriptures in the seminary. The Bible must always be interpreted by the Bible. You understand that the Bible must always be interpreted by the Bible. Now, it is true that we have some honest interpretations that are different on certain subjects, and I don't believe that this is by misinterpretation necessarily. It's we're doing the best we can. But we're not taking something out of context to build a doctrinal system or an ethical system. Let the Word of God stand. There is a red thread that goes through the Scriptures, and that red thread deals with that Jesus suffered and died for me, a sinner. Everything in the Scriptures should be interpreted in the light of that red thread. That is tremendously important. Everything in the Bible must be interpreted in the light of this biblical truth, or it is taken out of context, which in turn produces error. So the same Paul, who writes to us, we're saved by trusting Jesus, is the one who concludes that today by saying, therefore, live for him. And that's a part of your salvation while you're living on this world, on this earth. Amen. Father in heaven, give grace today in a very special way to those who are sick, suffering, watching loved ones suffer. Oh God, how easy it is to complain. But through our tears, help us to understand the blessings that we are experiencing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray your heart has been touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders services are made possible through the support of our listening family. Your offerings enable us to bring the gospel message to those who are unable to attend their own church services. We pray that if this ministry helps meet your spiritual needs, you will consider a tax-deductible contribution to help pay for radio time. Please send your offerings to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are all available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.